So happy February 1st.
Thank you.
Everybody listening on February 10th, happy February 1st.
And if it's February 10th while you're listening to this, then you've probably survived the polar vortex.
Yes. Yeah. How are you doing in the polar vortex?
I'm going to tell you right now, it came in and I had never seen a snow squall before, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Was it a whiteout situation?
It was a whiteout, but only for like 15 minutes. Then it was just like a little bit of like a kind of whiteout, like a light gray out. And then it was just gone. And then like an hour later, the wind, which was very cold, by the way. I don't know if you're familiar with the polar vortex, but the whole thing is that it comes from the pole.
Right. I've never been vortexed before.
Not a stripping pole, by the way, which, by the way, can be very hot. That's why they got to grease those things up. At least I think it's greased.
So how cold did it get?
It got down to 2.
Oof.
With a wind chill of minus, I think, 14.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the one good thing is all the urine is frozen.
People just sliding around the street on the frozen urine. Welcome to New York City.
Yeah, good times. So let's see. What do we got some baseball to talk about. We got a lot of baseball to talk about this week.
This is going to be our prospects talk episode. Yeah, some people are going to be like, oh, who cares? Other people are going to be like, wow, that sounds really great. I'm going to tell you something about baseball prospects. Basically, baseball's minor league and college system, to me, is so much more complex and fascinating than the NBA and football, though they basically just defer to colleges, right? And I guess a little bit to high schools with basketball players. But a lot of these guys just come in, they come into the league, and then they're in the league. They don't need development time. But in baseball, it requires so much skill to perform at the highest level that they must develop. And maybe some guy's going to be the 5th pick overall and you become a dud, or maybe he'll be like the 17th pick overall and become Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's exciting.
Exciting. I can hear it in your voice.
I get excited about prospects. I get excited about watching young men develop into their... Wait a minute. What?
This is episode 93 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the only player to wear number 93. Wore it last year. Pat Neshek for the Phillies.
Good for Pat.
So we have a number 93.
Pat Neshek, who never threw 93 miles an hour.
Never. Never. He's a junk baller.
He's a dreamer, though. He dreams of one day throwing a 93-mile-an-hour fastball. Good for him.
So the... I guess we should get some of the... There's been a little bit of signing and trading. Or not trading, but mostly signings and ARB deals and...
Yeah.
Some big some names
nice
came.
Some nice little movements. Like,
yeah. So probably the biggest deal is the Marlins signing Neil Walker.
You know, it's so funny. I saw that on like the ticker somewhere and it says Marlins signed Walker. And I was like, which? Who? Walker?
Right. What? That was just
are there any Walkers in the league?
But the one thing that I really found interesting with that is that last year he didn't sign until March. And he said that the reason why he had a down year is because he didn't have his traditional prep time. He wanted to sign early this year so that he could be in spring training on a roster and ready to go. So he would be, you know, but I mean,
wow, what a
weird sacrifice,
though, to sign with the Marlins just so that you can get in there on time. Hey, ever heard of a gym? Go into the gym.
Right. That it just was interesting that, you know, somebody who, what, 3-4 years ago was one of the top second baseman in the game, and everybody was saying like, well, if the Pirates don't sign him, it's going to be a huge win for wherever he goes, and he wound up going to the Mets, and it wasn't a huge win.
Yeah, the Mets signed him and didn't keep Daniel Murphy, right? Isn't that
so that definitely was not the biggest news of the week, but no. I just thought I'd throw it in there. Nolan Arenado last night signed a one-year new record ARB deal of $26
million. $26
million? Nice
zesty.
Coin. Yeah, for an ARB deal.
Yeah. I'm telling you, John, with the players worried about the owners not spending money, arbitration is where they're going to get it back.
Yeah.
If you raise the minimum, which I think they should, I think the league should, because the minimum for baseball is too low compared to other leagues. So you raise the minimum, and then you just arbitrate these guys up into higher and higher amounts. That's where you're going to get it, because I think the leagues are just getting too smart with these dumb free agent signings. Right. And this is why I like this.
I actually love where we're going with this, as far as the economics of the game makes sense, because nobody wants, as a fan, screw the owners and all that, but as a fan of a team and of a player, you don't want to see them going to a team for 10 years and then being productive for three and feeling that like they're an albatross. You just don't want that for your team. So I think this is much better. Pay these guys when their value is its highest, which is during their, you know, age 26 to 32 years. Let's get the value then.
Right, and also you're going to see a lot more of these guys hitting free agency or getting these extensions or getting big arbitration deals at younger ages because they're bringing them up younger. Mm-hmm. And so there's this little bit of a shift that we're going through right now where it hasn't quite fully worked itself. The gears haven't quite all meshed just yet. And so it looks like the owners are being cheap. And of course they're being cheap. They don't want to just waste money, but they, based on the system that exists, they're being cheap. And they're, because they're just like, well, we don't want to waste money and then have that, have a Matt Kemp, you know, who's being traded around the league. Like, I feel so bad. You know, I've always been a big Matt Kemp guy. And this guy just is like, they trade him to the Padres, and they trade him to the Braves, and they trade him back to the Dodgers, and then now they trade him to Cincinnati, and we don't even know if he's going to start there, and he's going to be making $25 million a year, $22 million a year. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
But good for him, $22 million a year is solid.
Yeah, but yeah, for the players that are getting the money to get that deal, you know, kudos to their agents. And you know where the mistakes have been made is on the ownership side. And then when they try to correct it, it's collusion.
Right. You know? I mean, look, it is collusive, but it's not collusion, right?
Okay.
Like it is that thing where it's just like the owners are like, well, we don't want to go over the salary cap, but it's sort of like negotiated collusion.
Right. I could see that.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Luxury tax.
but if it makes sense for the long term, it's like 2-3 years ago, we were talking about Bryce Harper making $50 million a year, $500 million deal, $500 million player.
Right.
And that just was lunacy. To think about that. So it seems like things have settled a little bit, but it's all going to go sideways again when Trout is available. And I'm sure the Angels will do whatever they can to keep him, but they've had his best years.
Right.
You know, so we'll see.
Well, they're paying for them now. They're paying, I think he's paid in the 30 million range.
Right.
But you got to figure if he was a free agent right now, he would get that 40 year. Great, Jed. 10 year. Hell, you know what? Why not 40
years?
Why
not 40 years? He's worth it. He's earned it.
Like Bobby Bonilla, right? Like he's still making $1 million a year off the Mets. 10 year, $40 million a year, $400 million. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him getting that easily. I mean, he's worth it. I mean, if you look at how much a win is worth and how many wins he provides, he's definitely worth it. Even if he declines, you know, in the next few years, he's still, you know, he is like, if he ended his career right now, in terms of Hall of Fame, he would be in the top half of Hall of Fame players in terms of overall career production.
At 27.
Yeah. Right. If he retired right now, he's already in the top half.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
That's the greatest player of our generation. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it's not Alex Rodriguez anymore.
Right.
What a jerk that guy turned out to be.
But quite impressive, though, in the late 90s, early 2000s.
No, I mean, an incredible baseball player, but just a jerk.
And he's going to be in one of the Super Bowl ads, so we'll see him. Yeah, it's exciting.
There's a State Farm insurance commercial with Aaron Rodgers, and there is a guy, his State Farm agent.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Alex Rodriguez.
Oh,
because it looks like Alex Rodriguez, and I'm watching a football game. I guess it was not last weekend, but the weekend before. And I was like, and then the agent spoke, and I was like, well, that's definitely not Alex Rodriguez. But this whole time, like for 6 months, John, I've been thinking that Aaron Rodgers' State Farm insurance agent was being played by Alex Rodriguez. Like, how kind of funny. Like, yeah, this is what Alex is doing in the offseason, kind of a joke, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, besides, you know, hooking up with Jennifer Lopez.
Which is not a bad deal.
I mean, it's a good gig if you can get it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Works for both of them.
So this was a little bit of a head-scratcher signing. The Royals extending Whit Merrifield for 4 years. He's like 30.
Yeah. And he's, well, I think that's why you see a four-year extension there instead of like one of those six-year mm-hmm. ones that they tend to do with guys at where he's at. They're like, yeah, we'll make it four. You're 30. We'll give you 4 years.
But isn't speed a big part of his game, and that's about to go away within the next year or two?
Well, I mean, it's a good deal. This is not like the Alex Gordon deal that the Royals right. signed. This is right. like this is actually like a good deal and makes him still he's still tradable. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're sort of locking him up. And like, let's say their time frame for competing again is about 3 years. So then he's in that window of maybe he's going to be a part of that team, or maybe he's traded in a few years to build, to get assets for that build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice trade. Also, like, as a Royals fan, like, you got to keep someone, right? Like,
right, right.
You can't just trade everyone off.
There's not much left. You got Sal, Gordon, and Merrifield.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
So that's not, that doesn't excite me if I'm a fan.
But it's so funny. You look at that team. How did that team, anyway, how did that team win a World Series? How did they get to two World Series?
It was Moustakas and
Hosmer, yeah.
Hosmer, yeah. It's just their. So Hosmer and Moustakas could get reunited in San Diego if the Padres don't wind up signing
reunited,
Machado.
But would it feel so good?
I don't know. So Machado, apparently they're all in on Machado, and they're yeah. all in on Harper, and there's rumors that they're talking to Gio Gonzalez. So that's exciting.
Look, but, I think the team that makes the most sense for Machado is the Padres. That's mm-hmm. my opinion. Like, they don't have a third baseman that's like, they have stars coming all throughout their system, but not at third base.
Mm-hmm.
So sign Machado. It doesn't cost you anything. There's no draft pick compensation. You got to pay someone something.
Yeah. So they're going to make an effort to get one of those two players. Harper's a good fit because he wants to play on the West Coast, and
yeah.
the Dodgers are out, so San Diego's the only logical.
Are the Dodgers out, though? Like, I don't know.
I think they're out.
Are they going to put? What, Alex Verdugo is going to be their starting right fielder?
But it's more, I think it's the money thing. The only way that he goes there, if it's a 3 or 4 year deal for $40 million a year, I think that's the only way that would happen.
What if Harper signed there? Well, you're saying they won't sign him to the long-term deal? Yeah, I can see that. I can see the Dodgers not wanting to do that.
Yeah,
but I think they get a lot of money coming off the books next year with the Kemp money gone or whatever, the Homer Bailey money now, I guess it's called. But, yeah, anyway. What else we got? Who else is going on?
We've got Wade Miley signing with the Astros.
Okay, so the only reason why I put this on here, because no one cares. No one cares if Wade Miley signs with the Astros. But I just thought it was funny because the day before yesterday, MLB.com posted this interesting thing about the hardest throwing starting rotations in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And the Astros were number two.
Well, now they're four.
You got to figure they're at least number 12 now with Miley being added. This guy is a soft tossing softball pitcher.
He's a corner eater. Yeah.
Anyway, so if you think about the Astros, they have all these great hitting prospects. And their starting staff is a little bit suspect. They lost, mm-hmm. or they look like they're going to lose Keuchel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander, who each are only signed through this year.
Right.
So the questions are Forrest Whitley, James, Peacock, McCullers is out for the year. Like, there's a lot of question marks for a team that was basically the second best team in baseball last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or third best, whatever. I don't care.
Right, right. No, it'll be interesting to see if they make any further moves to bolster their rotation. Yeah. But
and they got first base prospects coming out the butt. Like, if you can have a prospect come out of your butt, the Astros are having prospects coming out of their butt.
But if you're going for Miley, there's probably not much deeper that you could go without trading.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to be like, okay, we're done. I don't see that as the... Although he's an innings eater, and if that's really what you're looking for at the bottom of the rotation, that's
five
not
innings,
a bad thing.
Have him do 5 innings, right? Maybe even do the thing where the opener, right? Do have Brad Peacock start the first inning, have Miley come in, do second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring in all that. They have a pretty solid bullpen, so...
Yeah, that could work.
I don't know. Strange to see a contending team sign Wade Miley, but it doesn't mean they're not contending anymore. It's just strange to see. But you got to fill the roster spots, right? You got to eat the innings.
So where do you think so we were talking a little bit about Harper and Machado with the Padres. Do you think which one of those two would you think is the one they wind up with if they wind up with anybody?
I mean, again, I think if I was the Padres, I would go after I would hit Machado the hardest. I mean, like, he's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Harper is not really what they need. And also, like, left-handed power gets sapped at that stadium.
Right.
And would he really want to play in a small market like that? I just don't see him. I would see him being wanting to be in a star in a big city like Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like, go to the White Sox, man.
Right.
Like, that's Chicago.
It is going to be interesting when the first of the two signs, because that's going to put the Phillies, the White Sox, the Padres, whoever's on call for the other one, be like, we got to go all in. Because the White Sox, Han was saying that if we don't get one of these guys, it's going to be a negative for us.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have said that, first of all. That wasn't very smart.
Yeah.
But you got to figure that, you know, the silly money for the Phillies is going to bolster up a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And it's also holding back some other people from signing as well. Like Moustakas, again, is waiting on somebody, you know, so he's got to wait until, you know, that domino falls.
You bring up an interesting point there. I wonder if part of the reason why Harper and Machado haven't signed is because they're both 26 or right around the same age. They're both about the same level of skill, and neither wants to be the one that signs first and then loses its... Now, technically, Machado should get more money because he doesn't have draft pick compensation attached to him. But Boris represents Harper.
Right. So he, the best landing spot for Harper is going to be the Nationals, because you know that Boris can get silly money from the learners. He's done it over and over again.
He knows how to milk that prostate.
Yeah, he does. He's good at that.
Pre-med joke there for all the listeners.
Right. So the other thing, too, with the Padres is they're hot, and it looks like the JT Realmuto deal could go down any day now.
Right, so either, Reds, Dodgers... Yeah. Reds, Braves, Dodgers, Padres.
Braves, Padres is going to be. And it really comes down to, I think the Padres and Reds are probably the two best landing spots, given some of the, I shouldn't say that, the Dodgers are in there just as much. But it's going to really come down to, can somebody pull off the sign and trade? That would be the big win for whoever could do that. And I'm sure that's all of a sudden now a thing after Sonny Gray did it. And, you know, people are like, well, you know, if we, the Marlins have to look at it, is like, if we don't trade him, we lose, we basically lose out. We have to trade him before the season.
Right.
Because a year and a half, the value is going to go down. 2 years is much better, but a sign and trade would be huge.
I think they were talking about too much, asking for too much.
Well, five prospects initially.
It does sound like now they've come down from that a little bit, and there's enough teams sort of like who need this, right? And I'm not saying the Reds are going to be any better. You know, they're not going to be any better than they were last year necessarily, but I still don't really understand what the Reds are doing, I'll be honest with you. With the Puig thing, I don't know if you saw Puig, but Puig seems to be very much enjoying his Cincinnati experience.
Well, he's going to be their center fielder, he said, right? He's preparing to play center.
Oh, is that? Is that? Oh, my gosh.
That's what I heard yesterday.
I feel bad. He's such a great right fielder. But again, they don't have a center fielder, so whatever, right? Maybe it's a small enough outfield.
What a team player.
Yeah. I mean, he's – honestly, anyone who – whatever. You can not like him or whatever, but anyone who has him on their team is a fan of that guy. Because it's so unusual. I should be a fan of that guy. It's just such a great energy that he brings.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some video of him on TMZ of all places, And he's just like in Cincinnati and like joking around about how cold it is. And, you know, it just looked like he was already embracing the city. And
that's good.
He's already getting involved with some of the local activities. And he just got traded. Like, so I don't, but I don't know what the Reds, why are the Reds in on and Real Muto? Like, are they Real Muto away from making the playoffs? No. They still don't have any real starting pitching. I mean, Sonny Gray might be a number two starter for them. Luis Castillo is a number two starter for them. And then it's pretty thin after that. That's three other starting pitching spots. I don't know. I think the best fit's still the Rockies, but I will not go into that again for the third week in a row. I don't like the idea of the Padres getting them because, first of all, you have catchers.
Right.
And edges. And I don't know. The whole... Yeah, and I don't know, like, if you're getting Real Muto and he's a catcher, right? So there's no guarantee that in 3 years he's going to be the best catcher in the league. And if you're – unless the Padres think their window is now, then don't they need starting pitch? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, right. I like the Braves and I like the Dodgers as good landing spots for Real Muto.
Well, that's the kiss of death. He'll sign somewhere or be traded somewhere else.
Maybe he'll sign with the Red Sox.
There you go.
The cupboard is bare with the Red Sox. Yeah.
So Kenley Jansen, I didn't realize he had a second procedure.
Yeah.
Because like 2-3 weeks ago, he said he was ready to go after the first one.
Right.
So now he's had a second one. What was the second one? Do you know?
I think it was just wrapping it up.
Clean up, little cleanup.
Oh, no. This is the second one.
Oh.
The first one is the one that he had in the season.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
And what he's saying is that he shouldn't have any trouble with the mile high, because that was where he was sort of like having his flare-ups. Mm-hmm. His issues was in the thinner air there. But he said as long as he stays hydrated, he should be fine. Also, he claims best shape of his life, right? Okay. It's that time of year. Everyone starts noticing he's in the best shape of their life. Right. But he's thinned down. He's a husky dude. Mm-hmm. But he's lost a little weight to help things out with his situation and ready to roll. That's what he said.
Good.
So though he's less rollish because he's less round.
Right. Let's see. Red Sox added a little bullpen piece. And is it Jenry?
I think it's Henry Mejia.
Mejia.
The lifetime band. Henry Mejia.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. Lifetime band, which apparently
isn't
the
true.
Lifetime of what? Fruit flies? They didn't say whose lifetime he was banned for. maybe they said it was like, it's a lifetime ban, but it's Gary's lifetime. And then all Henry had to do was go kill Gary. And then it was like, good, Gary's dead.
Gary's in.
Let me back in the league.
Henry's in.
Who was that guy down in South America that went crazy with the machete?
The baseball player.
Yeah. He used to be a closer.
Oh.
And was arrested for like hacking up some. Yeah. Not protesters, but some. Maybe it was like self-defense, but it was.
Oh.
Anyway.
Was it the guy with the Ugeth Urbina? Was it Urbina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
Yeah, pretty great. Anyway, I'm not saying that that's what actually happened here, but it's a possibility.
Yeah, fake news.
No one knows what a lifetime ban really means if the guy's out of the league for just 2 years.
Well, that's really fake news. There's no such thing as a lifetime ban.
Yes. There's so much about the last 45 seconds that's totally fake news.
So more Red Sox news. Mookie Betts says he's not going to the White House. When did it get pushed back to? April, May?
Like mid-season.
Mid-season.
Yeah, May when they're in Baltimore. I guess it's just across the river or whatever.
Right. So Mookie says, I'm going to have my game face on. I'm playing baseball. Yeah. I don't do White House trips.
Yeah, so it's like it's a nice out for some of the players where it's just like they don't have to make it fully political, but they can sort of make their point. And we've talked about this before. I think that as many people who disagree with whatever administration should attend.
Yeah, it's
but
the
then
White
I
House.
Also think it's the White House. And it's also like, look, if you have a beef, like go say something.
Right.
Especially with this president, be in the room, say, hey, you know, let's take
happens.
Care of people of color. Exactly. Let's take care of Puerto Rico. Let's take care of. I'm like, let's not be like, he's so awful and he's blah, blah, blah. And But I also respect, you know, some players saying, like, you know what? Some of us need to take a knee on this national anthem. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which I'm not saying I'm for or against, but I'm just saying, right, I get the point.
Mm-hmm. So the Caribbean series, very surprisingly, is being moved from Venezuela.
Right.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well, things have not been going amazing in Venezuela. I don't know if you heard.
Not very good place to be these days.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Apparently, socialism isn't quite as amazing as some people thought it could be.
Okay. That's a whole nother podcast. So the Caribbean series is moving from Venezuela to Panama.
Right. Right. So, because socialism ate that country alive.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah.
There's
always nefarious actors involved in any political system, and just socialism allows for certain nefarious actors to be more nefarious.
But what I liked about what's going on down there is that the opposition candidate who didn't win the election has declared himself president because he thinks that the incumbent is not doing what's in the best interest of the country. So
right.
He just declared himself president.
Here's the thing, John. I do this all the time. And usually they just ask me to leave the Starbucks.
Right. They're like, get down off the chair, sir.
Look, I don't pretend to understand Venezuela politics and I say socialism, all that stuff, but I honestly don't fully understand what's happening down there other than the people are very upset. The citizenry, it looks like they have been ill represented by the elected. If the elected leadership was fairly elected or not, that's also dubious. But I'm just saying, when other countries start getting involved in other countries, it just gets messy. You know, like, we don't know what's going on in Canada. We should probably just invade them. Yes, of course. Take them over. Say, stop being our hat. You are now part of our country. You are no longer America's hat.
Right. Build the hedge.
But you know how many people in social media from Canada think they know everything that's going on with the United States? How about this?
Plugged in.
Yeah. Oh, they know everything, right? Like, okay, why don't you back away and sort out your own problems, all right? Stick to your country, all right? I'm not going to go solve Venezuela's problems. You stay out of America's problems.
Right. We'll just keep it all within our own borders. Build walls.
Look
about your own.
I like the idea of a protective barrier to stop people from getting into the country illegally. I think that they need to loosen how they let people into the country.
That's the guy I am.
No, so, I'm not saying just let them in. I'm not an open borders.
Then,
make it easier.
Right.
Like, let's prove that they're not a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's prove that they don't have. I'm going to use nefarious again here, John, because I like this word today. This might be the most nefarious episode we've ever done. But look, if you can prove reasonably that a person doesn't have nefarious intentions, come on, let them in.
Right.
Or work out like a migrant worker situation or whatever. Like, let's make these people legal so we don't have to have so much illegal. It's a little bit like the marijuana thing. Like, you make it all illegal and then it starts getting.
Right. Everybody.
So,
right.
It goes all behind closed doors and it's nefarious. Again, nefarious.
Super mega nefarious. Well, the Nationals think they've solved their problem for getting over the hump and getting into the World Series.
How did they do that, John?
They brought on Trader Jack McKeon, 88-year-old Trader Jack McKeon, who his last two stints as a coach went to the World Series.
Whoa! Got that lucky rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
Maybe if he passes away, they'll just cut off his foot and carry it around on a keychain. It says he's going to be the Washington Nationals senior advisor. But does that mean he's going to be their senior advisor or he's going to advise them about seniors?
I think that's what it is.
Like, you need to put a walk ramp in here. It's too many stairs. Also, you need to have more Lactaid at the vending stations.
That's a good story, though. He's just a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 88 years old and probably still going strong knowing him. He's just, you know, smoking his cigars and cracking jokes and telling stories. He's one of those good energy guys.
Yeah. So basically what everyone hopes to be.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to
88 year old, former multiple world champion.
Right.
Smoking cigars, telling stories, getting paid to advise the Nationals about where to put the shuffleboard.
The Yankees had one of the biggest acquisitions of the offseason.
Machado?
No.
Harper?
No. They hired a scientist.
Oh, the environmental scientist. Yes.
Yeah. That's exciting. What's that for?
So basically, like, they're just trying to make sure that everything is, like, as environmentally friendly as possible at the stadium. Maybe in the clubhouse, too. Maybe, like, some of these jock straps need to go, you know? Getting the hazmat team in there. I don't know.
Wasn't Yankee Stadium one of the stadiums that had the food issue? Remember earlier?
Yeah, they had the lowest rating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good.
Yankee Stadium, the richest team in all
of
American
newer
sports.
Ballparks, less than a decade old.
In one of the newer ballparks.
Yeah.
But it's okay. They've got an environmental scientist now. Okay. Do you really need an environmental scientist to come in and say, like, hey, you know what? There's too many rats here. Wait a minute. Are these rats farm to table?
Yeah, come a long way. You know, when you used to spit tobacco in the dugout and the kid would clean it up afterward and throw it out in the street.
Yeah. Yeah, now they're going to recycle the spit.
They're going to have little bowls like at the dentist's office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rinse, spit.
Yeah. And then they're going to process it, release it back in bottled water for the fans.
Nice. Recycling at its best. Sustainable ballparks.
Yeah, sustainable. That's what everything's about now.
Yeah. This one's a pretty cool little headline here. The Major League Baseball announced it's going to have a year-long celebration of Jackie Robinson.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. He's 100. He would have been 100 this year.
Which is hard to believe.
It's the 100-year anniversary. It feels like yesterday, but also doesn't it seem like it was so long ago?
It does. I remember when he passed away in the 70s. That was a big, it was a big deal. As a kid and a fan of the game, that was, a big deal. And it was played out. But it doesn't seem like it was that long. Not that I ever saw him play.
I mean, he died at like 53 or something.
Yeah, he
like
was
that,
young.
Right?
He's relatively
pretty young. You gotta think that the wear and tear, right, of what he went through, like that had to have a toll, right? Like,
yeah, emotional.
I think
physical,
it's safe to say that had a toll. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's too bad. Great man. What a wonderful thing he did for the sport, and kudos to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
For humanity.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
And not just for people of color, but just for all, just make everything just cooler,
Right.
Chiller. Cool is the wrong word because it makes it sound like I think like, wow, it's cool. Like he's the Fonz. No, I just mean like just to chill things out, because baseball sport is a great place for people to set aside their petty stupidities and just like, hey, we're here together. Let's not kill each other. Giants and Dodgers fans notwithstanding.
And in addition, Jackie Robinson's contract, Dodgers' original contract, is going to be hitting the auction block. That's going to fetch.
That's got to go for millions, right?
Yeah.
That's got to go for millions.
That'll be interesting.
Now, why doesn't just baseball have that? Why?
It should be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Shouldn't that just be in the Hall of Fame? Like, why is that being auctioned? Why doesn't baseball just say, whoever has it, like, here's $5 million. Where you want that?
Right. Right. It should be. Should be a part of the 100-year exhibit that's for 1 year at the Baseball Hall of Fame probably you'd think they would have something like that there.
What's going to be at the 100-year exhibit of your life, John?
Nobody.
Okay, so they're going to have a diorama of the marijuana fields that you're currently overseeing, right?
And they're going to have the entire catalog of Foul Territory podcasts.
Okay.
So you can just pop in and listen to anything. And they'll probably have them like tagged by, famous
things. They're going to be by that time the technology will exist where they will reanimate them and they will make them into video.
Raw holographics.
And all I ask is whoever makes the video of me just a little slimming in the face. That's all I ask. Just make sure I have a good angle. Don't shoot me from below. I got a little bit of a double chin, a little bit up, right? A little wide angle perspective. That's all I'm asking for in the hologram of us.
Very good.
50 years
from now.
I think
that can be done.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And maybe we can have an episode with Tupac.
See, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
As we stroll through the fields of your marijuana,
doing the pot, we'll have these
hologram marijuana fields.
We'll have wireless headsets and mics.
We'll
be strolling through the marijuana fields.
These things are going to be piped into people's brains. They're going to have brain chips for this stuff.
Right. You never have to move. What was that show? WALL-E. It's going to be the WALL-E thing. You just sit in a chair.
I'm excited.
And everything happens.
Honestly, that's basically, you want to talk about my goals in life. That's it. Sit in a chair, never move. Food gets dumped into my mouth. I get to watch TV all day.
So these next couple of headlines, I'm sure you have some commentary to it. So that's why I'm sure they're on this list. So the Rangers' new stadium, it will have synthetic turf.
Right. So, okay, synthetic turf, whatever that means, right?
Yeah.
It's not a grass, but it's like, I think the, who is it that has the synthetic turf like this? It's the Patriots, of course. Patriots have this. So it's like grass, but it's not AstroTurf.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I like this idea. The only problem that I have with synthetic turf is I always think of that scene in Caddyshack with Bill Murray where he's talking about his homegrown grass. He's like, you can go out and hit 9 holes on this and then go home and get stoned to the bejesus. Because it's a cross between Kentucky bluegrass and some something Sensimere or something like that. Anyway. So that's synthetic turf. That's what I think about when I...
So they won't be smoking any of the grass at the new Rangers ballpark. And it's a pretty
they may be.
Ballpark.
We don't know. We don't know. I think Bill Murray puts it on the table there for them.
It could be. But I don't know if you've seen some of the drawings. I don't know when this is going to be open. Is it next season, 2020?
I thought it was 2021, but 2020 makes actually more sense.
But it looks like it's going to be quite the entertainment / ballpark complex. Pretty cool looking facility. So check it out.
Have they already started plans for the next stadium for them?
I don't know, because that one's not that old. The one that they're in now is only like 20 years old.
Yeah, so they're going to they'll get this new one, and then as soon as that's built, they'll start working on the plans for
the next one. Right. Good. And meanwhile,
it's okay,
in Tampa
just
Bay,
taxpayer money.
Meanwhile
Tampa Bay.
Bay,
exactly right.
So the San Diego Padres have announced that they're going to go back to their brown and gold color scheme, not this season, but next season.
Yeah,
and fans.
I think that's what they're thinking is like this year we're going to play like brown stuff, but next year we're just going to be wearing it.
Right, and I loved when they had those all gold uniforms back in the 70s with the brown trim. I thought they were really cool, very softball-ish.
I feel like some things should stay in the 70s, but you know, cocaine was big in the 70s, and it's making a big comeback. So why not gold and brown uniforms? You know what? I think we might know why they're picking those colors.
Right,
cocaine.
Right, there you go, AJ Preller. So what's the I don't know anything about this story. So this guy buys scalp tickets for $7,000, has them mailed to him in his home.
No, so he just got them mailed to him incorrectly. They were mailed to someone else. He got them. He gets $7,000 worth of Brewers playoffs tickets, and he sells them. They're $180 face value. He sells them for $30 a ticket.
Wow.
What a loser.
And then he gets arrested.
And then he gets arrested for felony theft.
Wow.
I don't know. I thought possession was 9/10 of the law.
Yeah, that 1/10 is the
I guess
one
this
you
is that
1/10,
right? This is the 1/10 where it's like, well, actually, if it says they're Joe's tickets and your name is Dave, then they're still Joe's tickets.
Right. But I only charge $30. Still, no.
I mean, the funny thing is how little he charged may keep it from being like a full-blown felony, like where he actually has to go to prison.
Dude, are you all there, my friend? You do realize that you could have fetched a much higher price tag on that. So given that, we don't think you'd last very long in prison. So go home, say five, Hail Marys, and you're good.
Well, yeah, especially Wisconsin, right? That's home of Aaron Rodgers and the Hail Marys.
So that wraps up this week's headlines. Let's move on to starting nine. This week we have for the Super Bowl, 9 players with Super Bowl halftime performer names.
Yes, and as you know, John, or as you may not know, starting in 2002, that's when it was basically just like they put out big bands, right? Mm-hmm. Big popular bands.
Right.
Starting with U2.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Before that, it was like these weird themes like a country Christmas or, you know, a rock and roll rocking time.
Up with
and they were just kind of...
Was there like 3 years in a row. That was back in the 70s. And wasn't Michael Jackson like in the 90s really started to change the whole halftime thing? He did something...
Yeah, with some kids. He had a bunch of kids there. But it was like this whole theme thing, right?
Right.
As opposed to just like a band coming out and playing like
rocking it out. Yeah.
Some of their big songs and then their most recent single that they're trying to jam down everyone's throat. So the first year was U2 that this happened. 2002 was U2, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was also the first year the Patriots won.
Oh.
Now, it just so happens that the Patriots have been to the Super Bowl 9 times with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
9 times.
Out of his 18 years. That's crazy.
9 times, counting this year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to do the halftime shows from when the Patriots were in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that is
You ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready.
Troy U2 Lewitsky.
Very good.
These are just in sequence. Normally, I put the funniest ones at the end.
This is
but these
order.
Are just in sequence. Yeah.
Okay.
Janet Jackson Bradley Jr.
Okay.
Right?
That
right?
Was the,
Nipple
the
slip.
Infamous,
everyone knows.
Right? Wardrobe malfunction?
The, wardrobe malfunction. Now, also, Timberlake was there, but he appears later on this list, so I'm going to use him later. Next is Paul Ender McInciarte Knee.
McInciarte Knee.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you know what's actually better is Paul Ender McInciarte Knee. How about that?
That's good.
Ender Inciarte Paul McCartney.
Right.
Yes. Still alive. Looks a lot like Angela Lansbury, yes, but still alive.
I thought you were talking about Inciarte.
No, he's very much alive and doesn't look anything like Angela Lansbury. All right. Next, Tom Yasmero Petit and the Heartbreakers.
That was good. Good one.
Madonna son Bumgarner.
Good.
Hyunjin Katy Per Ryu.
Okay.
Lady Gagary Sanchez.
Gagary?
Gagary. It's not my best one, but
I
Gagary
like
Sanchez.
Gagary
okay.
Sanchez. I'm going to start calling
aforementioned that. Timberlake, Justin Timberblake Snell.
Okay. Very good.
And for this year's Maroon 5, bound to bore many people and make many people be glad that they have bathroom functions they need to take care of. Maroon 5, No Maroon Mazar 5. No Mar Mazar.
That's good. Yeah, they're an interesting selection. Are they really that big of a band?
I don't think so. No. Are they really that good? I don't think so. No. Well, like some of the bands that have been on there have been like, well, they're popular.
Right.
But are they really that popular? And well, also, maybe they are, and I've just refused to believe it.
Like Bruno Mars, everybody went on, and I'm like, it was okay. They're like, it was the best halftime show ever. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, when I guess I've always looked at it, and some people are like, well, why do we always have to, you know, roll out these aging rock stars? That, you know, that's the demographic doesn't fit that anymore. But a lot of the people that watch the Super Bowl and go to the Super Bowl have a lot of money, and those are their idols.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I completely agree.
So I'm okay with that. So let's do this around the horn. We're finally into the top prospects.
John, I've even got my glasses on just to make myself smarter.
And I'm sure there are reams of, this is not going to be off the top of your head, even though you do know a lot about it, but I'm sure you got a few notes for this one.
I have no notes on this because around the horn rules, no notes.
No notes. But the glasses are to make you look studious?
Yeah, just because everyone knows that if you put glasses on, you're smarter.
Right. Okay.
Haven't you ever seen a film or a television show ever?
Right.
Those are the rules.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah.
So visualize
sunglasses makes you cool. Glasses makes you smarter.
Okay. Everybody visualize Jed while you're also looking up.
The one downside, glasses make you ugly. See, she's all that. Okay. As soon as you take the glasses off of a very beautiful woman, she goes from being an ugly woman to being that very beautiful woman.
Unrecognizable.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It worked for Clark Kent.
It does. You can't even tell who
he's not a beautiful woman necessarily.
Well, maybe.
In this day, you cannot decide.
Right. Bruce Jenner.
It's none of our business. Exactly.
There we go. Okay, top prospects, round the horn. Everybody knows how this works. I throw out the team name. Jed instantaneously pulls something out of the blue, and it's a gold nugget. So this is how it all works.
This top is how prospects the nuggets work.
Going into the 2019 season, the Atlanta Braves.
Austin Riley and Touki Toussaint. Now, it's not fair because Touki Toussaint has already started, so he just hasn't crossed that threshold where he's no longer counts as a rookie prospect. But Austin Riley is going to be their third baseman of the future, or he's going to be someone that they trade away for a huge return because they just feel like, well, you know what, we'll put Donaldson there, then we'll put someone else there, or maybe they get next offseason they go after Arenado, whatever. But this guy can hit like a freak, and he had a little bit down. He got in Double A last year. The production was a little bit down, but all the tools are there. He had some batting average on balls in play, BABIP issues. Mm-hmm. But he hits the ball hard. He plays good defense. Him and Touki Toussaint are my two. The Braves are loaded, right? They got Ian Anderson, and they got Christian Pache, or however you pronounce that. They got all these guys coming. It's a stocked system. They got a catcher coming. But the catcher's coming a couple years away, which is why I like Real Muto to go there. But anyway, those are the top two for me for the Braves.
The Mets.
Okay, the Mets are a little bit tougher. What's I never can remember this guy's name, but it's Andrés Giménez. Is that his name?
Yeah, got me.
Yeah, he's a shortstop, and he's really, really good. And he's sort of like – he was a bit of what they call a helium player, a prospect where he was like, people thought he was okay. And then last year he quickly rose up. Mm-hmm. Andrés Giménez. Yeah, I just confirmed here. Andrés Giménez. So the problem is they already have a really good shortstop, but if he falters, boom, Giménez can go in there. Can't really go to second base because the Mets are already stocked up at second base. So I'm not really sure what they're going to do with this guy, but you're talking about a really nice, good defender, good batting skills, exciting player.
Phillies.
Okay, so the Phillies, I like Sixto Sanchez the most of all their players, right? All their prospects. So they've graduated a couple of good guys, and they've had some guys fall off. Like, I was really kind of keen on Jalen Ortiz last year, but then he kind of he went like way backwards. Mm-hmm. So, Adam Haseley, I kind of like too. I think he was he drafted last year? I never know when these guys come into the systems. But my big guy for the Phillies, Sixto Sanchez.
The Nationals.
Luis Garcia is considered by some to be the highest upside prospect for the Nationals. But Victor Robles still qualifies as a prospect. And so he...
Top dog.
He's a top dog. And then behind him, Carter Kieboom, who... But yeah, he's had some... I don't know. Maybe he works. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. He's all over the charts on the prospect list.
Marlins.
Well, I'm going to go Victor Mesa.
All right.
He's Cuban, so you don't know if he's a hype player or is he going to be like Puig? Is he going to be like Rusney Castillo for the Red Sox, who they're hiding in the minor league so they don't get penalized with his contract, the tax on his contract. So he's getting paid whatever, $60 million to play minor league baseball. Like, all right, sounds good.
Red Sox, speaking of.
Okay, so this is a very thin system. The guy I like the best is Bobby Dalbec. He's a power guy, third base. Maybe he turns, I don't know. But he's one of those guys that, like, defensively he's not really strong, so a lot of the ranking systems have him down lower. But just in terms of pure raw power and getting on base, he's a good player.
Yankees.
Now, the Yankees have also thinned out pretty big time. Of course, they're graduating all their players. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like Gleyber Torres and...
Traded a few nice pieces, too.
Traded some pieces. I think they got hosed on that Sonny Gray deal that they where they gave away. Probably their best guy is Estevan Florial, but I'm going to say I'm not a big believer, but he is their best prospect. But they got a lot of guys who are like maybe someday they're going to be going to pop up, but for now it's a lot of lottery tickets.
It'll be interesting to see what the Red Sox and the Yankees do in the next 2 years, because they're in order to replenish the system, because they're going to be winning, they're going to have to trade.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.
You can't win World Series just off of free agency. You have to have homegrown talent. It's just no one's been able to buy a championship. I mean, I think there's obviously, I'm going to say no one, but like all the teams that have been winning, this is homegrown talent with a few accent players thrown in.
Right. How about the Blue Jays? Whole bunch.
I mean, the Blue Jays are just the best is Vladimir Guerrero, right? Mm-hmm. So Junior. So that's not even close. But Bo Bichette is also a very, very good prospect. And I'm a little higher on, I don't know how to pronounce his first name, Kevin Biggio. I'm a little higher on him than most of the prospect guys. I think, especially for fantasy reasons, I think that he's, because he's got power and speed, and like that's a top 50 player. Like, why
all
are
three
you...
of those guys could be up this season.
Yeah. Along with Nate Pearson, who's their 100-mile-an-hour, 102-mile-an-hour flame-throwing starting pitcher who's gone way up the charts in the last year.
How about the Orioles?
Okay, so Yusnil, I think that's how you pronounce it, Yusnil Diaz. That's the guy they got from the Dodgers. And then behind him, it's a little bit of a mixed bag of Ryan Mountcastle, Austin Hayes, D.L. Hall. Some people are really high on D.L. Hall, but it's hard to get excited about an Orioles pitcher. Like, they just have so much trouble developing pitching. But maybe with the new GM in there, they can put in a new system to, I don't know.
They have no place to go but up.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But Yusnil Diaz is like the guy. Like, I think he is right now a top 40 prospect, and playing in Baltimore and the clear path to playing time, he's a very valuable asset for fantasy. And he could even be up this year. He could be a very, very strong player for them for years to come.
How about the Rays?
Now, the Rays are like the Padres. The Rays are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like this is like they cheated somehow. Wander Franco is 17 years old and considered, by midseason, will be the best prospect in baseball, mainly because Tatis Jr. and Guerrero will have graduated. But he will be, and he's 17. You also have Brent Honeywell, who was supposed to be in the league last year, but then Tommy John.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom. So he should be up this year, probably get you 100, 120 innings, be a nice contributor on your fantasy team, but also he's just a really strong pitcher. And then Nate Lowe is the other guy that I'm excited about, because first base prospects tend to be sort of underrated, but this guy can hit the snot out of the ball with high on-base percentage, slugging, good bat-to-ball skills, exciting player. And then the other guys that are like, these are all still top 10, top 100 players. Vidal Brujan, I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, Brujan. Jesus Sanchez, that's still a top 40 player. Well, this is their fifth player down the list. He's a top 40 player.
That's a deep farm system.
And then Matthew Liberatore is a strong pitcher. Brendan McKay was a top pick just a couple years ago. And, you know, below that, there's some more question marks. But, like, that's
pretty deep.
That's a top seven that is, like, in the top 100. It's really incredible. And some people have them with 8 and 9 players in the top 100. So, really impressive.
Let's move over to the NL Central, the Pirates.
Okay, so the Pirates, who continue to not spend money and will have the lowest salary in the National League this year, lower than the Marlins. I mean, unless the Marlins trade Real Muto, so, but whatever. But their guy, Ke'Bryan Hayes, great defender, like, great defender. Good hitting skills, a lot like Josh Bell across over at first base, but this guy's a very good third baseman. Mitch Keller's their top pitcher. And then they got a couple other guys that are kind of interesting. Travis Swaggerty. Cole Tucker is fast. Like, he could be a 40 stolen base guy in the major leagues. But those are your top two, Mitch Keller and Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Cardinals.
Well, Alex Reyes is their best pitching prospect. But he's been their best pitching prospect for, what, three, four years now? And it's injury this and Tommy John surgery. And then their big hitter, their big guy, Nolan Gorman, I think should have gone higher in the draft last year, but didn't. And the Cardinals got lucky and got him. And he's going to be a big, powerful hitter at third base for them, maybe as soon as next year.
Cubs.
The Cubs also thinning, by the way. Mm-hmm. Not, again, you win a championship, it's hard to do what the Astros have done, which is build a championship and also have a monster, continue to have a monster farm system. They have Nico Horner, who they drafted last year. That's kind of it. They signed their catcher, Miguel Amaya. Mm-hmm. Is maybe he's got some top 100, top 150 kind of. But a lot of it's sort of like, well, we'll have to wait and see. But Nico Horner is sort of there. Also, what a great name, Nico Horner.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Yeah.
What position does he play?
He's shortstop. Might wind up at a third base.
Nico
kinda,
Horner
at
the
guys.
Hot corner.
Yeah.
I like that.
He can go around going, do I make you Horner? Yeah, baby. Remember those? Remember people used to always quote those movies?
Absolutely.
And now no one ever wants to see a Mike Myers movie film ever again.
How about the Brewers?
Okay, so they basically just have Keston Hiura. Hiura? Sorry. Sorry, Keston. Reading is fundamental. Corey Ray is still, he's like just outside the top 100. He's in the top 120, 150 on a lot of these lists and stuff. And he could still kind of pull it together. But he has that thing, what's called prospect fatigue, where like people just have seen his name around for so long.
Me too.
It's just like, ugh, Corey Ray, right. All right, I remember him. He must not be that good because he's not in the major leagues yet. But, you know, sometimes it just takes 3 or 4 years for a player to develop.
Yeah. Reds.
Okay, Reds, Nick Senzel, absolutely, clearly their best guy. Jonathan India, I think, is their number two. Some people have Taylor Trammell as high as, like, 12. But I'm a little down on the power for Taylor Trammell. I'm not sold on it. But Jonathan India, also very good third baseman, which is good because they also have a third baseman already, Eugenio Suarez.
Right.
So, great. This is why the trading of India to Realmuto makes sense. Like, maybe you do, like, Jonathan India and, I don't know, someone a little bit lower on their list. I can't even think of anyone lower on their list. But there's Hunter Green might be a little too much. He's still a good prospect.
Let's go over to the American League West, the Astros.
Forrest Whitley pitching, Kyle Tucker hitting. Kyle Tucker came up for like 60 at-bats last year and looked like he did not put up great numbers. But it was really just a BABIP thing. Like, he hit the ball at players. It didn't, so they didn't land. But he's going to be a great hitter for them. And then sneaky good, Yordan Alvarez. I've seen him on lists as high as like 15 overall. And he's the guy that got from the Dodgers for Josh Fields.
How about the Angels?
Joe Adell. That's the number one guy for them. He's a top 10, top 15 guy. Some have him a little bit lower, but he has come out hitting and hit at every level. And nice outfield. They have a bunch of outfielders. They got Brandon Marsh and this other guy, Jordan Adams.
Okay.
And these are like all in the top 120. Like, they could all turn into viable, you know, major league outfielders, but maybe they have to trade some of it away to get pitching. I would love to see that in this league, though. You just take someone who's like, hey, we got Brandon Marsh. He's the number 80 player. We'll trade you our number 80 player for the number 81 player who is a starting pitcher. Now we have a starting pitcher in our farm system.
Might not happen anytime soon.
No. Because then what if it goes wrong?
Right.
And what if we got the short end of the... Yeah.
Don't want to give up too soon.
Yeah.
Rangers.
Leody Taveras. A lot of people are really high on him. I haven't really seen the numbers out of him. So it's kind of like, well, maybe it's just Bubba Thompson then. A lot of people are kind of high on Bubba Thompson. Also, I just love to have a guy named Bubba Thompson in the league, you know?
Right.
Bubba. That's why I'm rooting for him.
How about Oakland?
Okay, Oakland. Excuse me, Oakland.
Is that how they pronounce it in Canada?
Who don't know how to pronounce words, right? Jesus Luzardo, AJ Puck. They got Luzardo in that Trinan trade. Mm-hmm. Not Trinan, but Sean Doolittle. They also got Trinan and Luzardo from the Nationals. This guy's top 15. Maybe he's the second or third best pitcher prospect right now. He's going to be up this year. He's going to be awesome. AJ Puck also should be up this year and is awesome.
Mariners.
Was it Kelenic? That's the guy they got from...
Kelenic and Justice Sheffield would be the other.
Yeah, I'm a little down on Justice Sheffield, but I do know a lot of the list guys are high on him. So we'll say, and Evan White is their first base prospect, mm-hmm. and he's actually a good defensive first base prospect. So that gives you hope that he's actually, it's like, Cody Bellinger? Mm-hmm. Good defensive first baseman. Usually don't get a lot of credit for that because whatever. But they've made some nice moves. And then, of course, they got Kikuchi, which some people count as a prospect, mm-hmm. and other people don't. But he is rookie eligible, mm-hmm. so he should be a very nice addition to teams.
Let's go over to the NL West, the Padres.
Okay, the Padres are the other stacked team, right? They got Fernando Tatis Jr., number two prospect in baseball. Keith Law is number one, great. They also have Luis Urias at second base, Mackenzie Gore, Chris Paddock, pitchers should be really nice starting pitcher pieces. And then even down like Xavier Edwards, they drafted last year, Hudson Potts, Adrian Morejon. And then they even have Francisco Mejia, who some consider to be, you know, a top 20 prospect still, though he might not be a catcher. If he's not a catcher, he's just not as valuable, right? Mm-hmm. So, but that's a stacked system. Like, it's really ridiculous. Something's got to pay off. Or you group them together and ship them out for other guys.
For other pieces. How about the Dodgers?
Keibert Ruiz, I think, is the best prospect that they have. Alex Verdugo, I think, is a very good major league player. Though I'm not 100% sure about that power. He's got a great arm, be a great right fielder. Has a little trouble with lefties. He's a lefty hitter. And then Gavin Lux is the other guy that's sort of like, he's sprung up. People were kind of dismissive of their pick of him a couple years ago, but he's really turned it around.
Giants.
The Giants do not have a lot. I would say their best guy is probably the guy they signed, the international signing, Marco Luciano. Mm-hmm. But he is the highest ceiling, right? But Joey Bart looks like he's going to be a very good replacement at catcher. Mm-hmm. Who's the catcher there? Posey. See, I know the prospects, but Posey, right? I don't know the major leaguers. And then Helio Ramos, I still like him, but he had some unhelium. He went the other way.
Went the wrong direction.
He went the wrong way. So, but you know that happens with helium balloons. Like they go up, eventually. And then eventually they come down. Yeah. So,
Rockies.
Now the Rockies, it's hard to get excited about their prospects because they seem to have no idea how to deal with them. But they have Garrett Hampson, who I love. Very good defender. Second base. Should be their starting second baseman this year. Should be. But who knows? Brendan Rodgers, I'm a little less thrilled about than most people. A lot of people are kind of excited about him. But, he has that prospect fatigue where maybe he is a top 10 pick, a top 10 prospect right now. But just people are tired of seeing his name or just bored of seeing his name or whatever. And then Colton Welker, again, third base. And then they have this pair of first basemen, Grant Levine and Tyler Nevin, mm-hmm. that both just rake. But again, first basemen are not really highly regarded in prospect circles because they're usually defensively poor, right? Mm-hmm. So,
how about Arizona?
They have a couple Bahamians, Christian Robinson and Jazz Chisholm. I don't think Jazz is his real name. I think it's Jazzard. No, I don't know. Jazzert.
Okay.
Those are two top 60 prospects, definitely top 100. And then John Duplantier is a really good top 100 pitching prospect they have coming. Their future is a little thin, but I'm excited about Christian Robinson. He's a young guy. I get excited about young guys. but he looks like he could be one of those five-tool, like not necessarily Acuna, that's a little high to put on him like that, but maybe like a Victor Robles, mm-hmm. you know, like he could be top 10 player by the end of the season. So
cool. Tigers.
Okay. So I really like Christian Stewart. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's because I watch fantasy baseball, I play along with fantasy baseball too much. On-base percentage, power, bad defender. Casey Mize is their top, like standard prospect. Pitcher, he looks like he's going to be great. Matt Manning is also very good. But I'm excited most about Kristen Stewart.
Indians.
Okay, Indians have a couple of really cool guys. They have George Valera. That's the guy I'm most excited about on that team. High on base percentage, still a couple years away in the outfield. Wouldn't it be great if he was available now for the Indians? And Tristan McKenzie looks like he's going to be great. And then Nolan Jones at third base could be also good on base percentage, could be a real nice boost for them in the next couple of years.
Twins.
The Twins, the best. Is it Brester Gatterall? Is that? I always feel weird saying his name. Brester Gatterall. Now, maybe it's just because I like that name so much. But Royce Lewis is their number one guy. Alex Kirilloff is their number two guy. These are both like top 10, top 15 players. Trevor Larnach, who's drafted last year, top 40 guy, top 50. And then Brester Gatterall is their best pitching prospect. And some people have him in the top 50 players.
How about the White Sox?
White Sox have a couple of like really nice pieces, right? They already brought up Yoan Moncada, right? Mm-hmm. But they got Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease coming this year. Michael Kopech will be back next year after the surgery. And then he'll come up with Nick Madrigal and Louis Robert. I don't know. I can never tell. And so you have like all these really great pieces that should be up by mid next year. This is why a Machado or Harper signing makes so much sense for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And last but not least, the Royals.
Last but maybe the least. They have a really nice first base prospect, Nick Prado. And I like their catching prospect, MJ Melendez. And some people think Khalil Lee is good.
So I think everybody deserves to give Jed a little golf clap for that rapid fire through the league. No notes. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I knew probably maybe a dozen of the names that you threw out there.
That's good, though, John.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Look, honestly, over the last 8 years, I would say, as a baseball fan, I have started to really get into the prospects and watching them develop and seeing which players develop which way and that sort of thing. And I, by no means, consider myself an expert in development of players, but it's just such a fun aspect of the game. You know, and now with the technology where you can track minor league games on your phone,
right,
and see how you get, you know, you draft some of these guys into these keeper leagues or dynasty leagues, and you get to see them progressing. And even if, you know, or if you're just a Dodger fan, you want to follow, you know, K-Bert Ruiz and see how he comes up. And will Gavin Lux be the second baseman of the future along with Corey Seager? Like Lux and Seager. It's a fun part of the game.
No, it's most impressive. You should start the Jed Rigney list, the top 100.
Oh, yeah.
Feature that on our website.
I think I waste enough time on baseball already, John.
Okay, let's move into extra innings, taking a look on what's happening outside the world of baseball. So I didn't even hear about this yet. This just happened yesterday, the Porzingis trade to the Knicks, or from the Knicks to the Mavericks?
Yeah, so this year I decided I'm going to be a Knicks fan. I've been here for 3 years now in New York, and I feel like disconnected from the Lakers, my L.A. Lakers. And, you know, they signed LeBron James, and they traded away a couple of the young guys I liked or got rid of a couple of the young guys I like. And I just find myself sort of disconnected from that team. So I was like, here I am in New York. I'm going to start following this team. And I was so into Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
And this year I was like really hunkering down. I've been tracking his recovery from his injury like every couple of weeks. And then they trade him to Dallas. And I guess this is what I get for trying to become a Knicks fan, because this is what the Knicks do.
And who did they get? Did they get any value?
They got, I don't remember his name, but it's like Dennis Smith, I think was his name. And he was like the Mavericks top 10 pick last year. Or the year before, you know, two drafts ago. Anyway, yeah, it's and there's some draft picks that are being come along. And
I thought the Knicks were building around Porzingis.
I thought they were too. I know I was.
And then the other big NBA news was Anthony Davis, coming out and saying, I don't want to play here anymore. Please trade me by the deadline.
Got fined by the league, a whopping $50,000.
Yeah.
But yeah, teams are lining up. The Lakers are considered the top landing spot for him. And what would they have to trade to get him? And what three-way team deals are being. And I love talking about three-ways, but I. The NBA does more three ways, I think, than baseball does, right? Mm-hmm. So, as you know,
right?
Hey-o. But yeah, so that's one of the best players in the league demanding a trade. It's could be a big ramifications.
New Orleans' response, management's response, that was like, we're trying to build a championship team here, and we thought that Anthony would be our centerpiece for that. And he's kind of like, not really, I don't see it. I'm out of here.
I don't really like it here.
No, next. So the announcement came out this week that a new Batman film called The Batman will be coming out in 2021. But there's a big news attached to it.
Yes. No Ben Affleck.
No Ben Affleck in the starring role or as director, because he was originally slated to both direct and star in the next one.
Right.
Not happening.
Have you ever seen any of his Batmans?
I have.
I have not actually seen more than a few clips. He doesn't strike me as a Batman.
He's more of a Bruce Wayne.
He's more like a Batman. Maybe that's why they got rid of him.
Right.
He's not the Batman.
Right. Right. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're searching for the new Batman.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Will it be you, John?
It won't be me. I'm too old.
Will you take a break from harvesting your fields of marijuana?
Gold.
Yeah. Sensimilla gold.
So this is just the strangest headline I've seen in a long time. Actually, these next two are quite strange.
The next two. And also, they tie together.
They do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Beyonce and Jay-Z are offering lifetime tickets to their shows for fans who go vegan.
Yes, so it's like a contest or a drawing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, like, why wouldn't you just enter that and then just eat all the cheeseburgers you want anyway?
Right, yeah.
What would be the rules? How do you prove it? Like, do you have to send them a stool sample, like, every month? And then, like, how funny would that be? Like, Beyonce and Jay-Z getting their monthly stool samples, right?
I just don't get that. I don't get it at all.
What if you get tickets to Beyonce and Jay-Z, right? Lifetime tickets. And what if they become unvegan? What if they're like, you know what?
Yeah,
no, actually, I need to have red meat because I need that protein in my system and blah, blah, blah.
It's just another PR move. Just another.
Then do you have to give up being a vegan?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe you
is give that up, then the rules?
Maybe you give up Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Well, I already have done that, John.
I don't think I've ever heard an entire song. I shouldn't say that. I have Beyonce. I know very little of her work. Jay-Z, a little bit more, but
right,
yeah, whatever.
Yes.
So the next and last headline, or the extra innings of the day, is a head scratcher. I don't know how this happens that you would get a tattoo that you have no idea that it is what it is. Especially if it's something in a foreign language. But Ariana Grande's tattoo that she thought said seven rings in Japanese actually says barbecue grill. How does
barbecue
that
barbecue grill. Well, first of all, she's immediately eliminated from the Jay-Z and Beyonce ticket competition.
She can't qualify. No.
So life is full of regrets for her. Not just this tattoo.
Pete
but like,
Davidson's
got to
be laughing all the way to the...
Right? All the way to the barbecue grill.
I just don't get that one. I've rarely looked these up. I looked that one up to see if there was a photo of it, and it's actually, it's symbols. So, but immediately after she posted it, people were like, that's not what it says.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I love it.
So what's coming up next?
If you think you've had a rough go in life and everything seems to be stacked against you, tune into the next episode of At Least You're Not a Knicks Fan.